This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I would like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have things been going?
Well, in your absence, since last week, Mr. Coyne had some significant fun.
Well, of course he did, and I actually have a news story to honor that. I do know that he's gone this week. I think he went to see the Backstreet Boys. Just kidding.
I think
he's actually deer hunting. So yeah, we are. You know, it's great. I mean, Tom's been, I heard the show went really well last week.
It did.
Yeah, I'm glad that he can fill in when I'm gone, and now he's away for a little while, and I can fill in also. And it's just great, too, on that topic. You know, one of the things we're going to talk about today as we get into things is having a team. And even though Tom himself has been gone, his team has just cranked it out for us this week with a couple new approvals. And so, yeah, it's just absolutely a great partnership that works well there. But John, how have you been doing while I was gone?
Oh, busy, busy, busy.
Okay, gotcha.
Between the two kids still at home that are playing football, Harley is doing Grid Kids and Dylan's playing at Kamiak, and it's just here, there, everywhere.
Well, I totally know what you mean. Between our jaunt from Everett to Vegas to Boise, I think I saw, I think I've had 17 youth hockey games since I saw you last.
Wow. So hockey parents are dedicated.
Well, you get with a girl and a boy both playing too, I'm definitely doubling up. But we have, we've had a lot of fun with that, and some great time off, and very cool stuff. We were actually in Everett. I don't know, did you see the YouTube video of the rainstorm that was there 2 weeks ago?
The one that flooded that one
Stadium High School?
Yeah, Stadium High School. The water was roaring down the steps.
We were there during that. They got like a half an inch in like 10 minutes, and their storm system was only rated for like a quarter of an inch every 10 minutes.
And they had to close the stadium till next year because it was ruined.
I was definitely soaked. I got my I got my rainstorm soaked there, and so that was really interesting to see. If you have not seen that video, definitely type in Stadium High School Tacoma flooding, and it is very, very interesting to see what.
It's reminiscent of those old NFL films where they show that one downpour in Tampa, Raymond James Stadium, where the water's just flowing down the steps. Only it's worse.
Yeah, it was very interesting. But we're back super, super busy. I tell you what, I don't know if it's this amazing October weather that we've had, continually robust market. We've got some great properties to announce for you. And we have definitely are cranking towards some monumental goals as we look into the fourth quarter and just continuing very, very strong. So I always like to do a couple news stories. We'll start with our fun one. I did bring, also to honor Tom's comments, I did bring the Britney Spears, Oops, I Did It Again house purchase, but this time no laughing matter, McKay. She threw down looks like a renewal of the contract in Vegas for two more years. Definitely helped propel a $7.5 million purchase in Thousand Oaks, California, and that is not a cheap neighborhood. So
no.
That definitely gets you basically an Italian masterpiece, 12,500 square feet with 7.5 bathrooms, and this thing is done up to the nines. It is absolutely incredible. So kind of fun to see what a true Italian marble, very deluxe, luxurious type home was done. And however, now that house was listed 2 years ago, started at $11.5 million and ended up selling at $7.5 million. So
a little depreciation.
A little bit of difference there from asking to final selling. Now, in combination with that, I always like to bring up local news stories that are also dealing with real estate that have an impact on us here. Now, we started talking about this about 2 years ago, but it's really coming full circle right now, and that is the use of the drone photography. A lot of our listings, we have drone photography done on them. We have aerial pictures. We have video tours, and it has been the sole reason that many of our houses have sold over the last couple of years. However, we did talk about the FAA is really been trying to get out regulations on how they're going to regulate that airspace. And what's happening right now is, I hate to say the dreaded word, but we're only about 2 months away from Christmas. And with now the technology and the prices of those drones have come down, they really feel like in the next 4 months, drones are going to reach critical mass. With there'll be sales they're projecting of over 800,000 new drones that'll be in the sky because of the Christmas season coming up. So there is a real rush to get some regulations in place, and they're actually looking at, even on the recreational side of things, if you have a drone, that it is going to have to be registered on a database. That way the authorities can track who is using those drones and for what purpose.
Well, and part of it too is that there have been not just single but double digits, dozens of reports of them being flown too close to airports.
Yes, apps.
The stories of near misses with airplanes are becoming old hat.
Yes, absolutely. On top of the fact that there was a company recently that the FAA lobbied $2 million in fines to a videographer photography company out of Chicago. They were using their drone to do aerial shots of luxurious high-rises. The problem they ran into is that they did not notify all of the residents of that, and they found a couple open drapes, open windows of some people that did not want to be on the video, creating a number of problems, as you can imagine, from an ethical standpoint. And then also there has been notes of drone crashes. I think we reported a few months ago that one fell into the geyser lagoons at Yellowstone. And so talk about a little bit of an ecological issue. How are they recovering those drones and the batteries and stuff? You don't just wade out into the geyser out there and grab your drone.
Chances are it's probably going to stay there given the temperatures of that.
So we're going to see a real push for these regulations and these registration type issues coming up. Just something to think about. You know, we're going to have to make sure our commercial procedures have registrations, that we have people registered that are using those, because it those pictures now and those videos are becoming commonplace, and they also lend great value, especially to acreage type properties. When clients are looking from out of town or making a cross-country move, those tours and seeing what the neighborhood from a first person perspective, seeing what the neighborhood looks like around you, are really, really valuable to buyers. So there's a big call in our industry for that. So be on the lookout for that. And just a reminder that your drone Christmas present might also cause the need for a registration. So one of the things we're also doing is we're looking at those topics, the questions that we're getting from people on our website on a day-to-day basis, and bringing those topics to the radio show. And one of the things that happens as we have more and more people driven to online sites and a tight real estate market, we have people start to look at other sources on where to find property. If they're not finding the right property, how else can I do that? Well, we've noticed a huge uptick in questions coming in on our websites, in our office lines, and our calls about pre-foreclosure properties. So I started to think, why are we all of a sudden, we don't have a lot of foreclosures in our area, why are all of the sudden we're getting this question over and over again? And really what it is as people are having a difficult time in a lower inventory market trying to find what they need, they're doing more in-depth web searches, and they're coming across these pre-foreclosure list. And a lot of times the people that call in and the calls that we get, they don't understand what that is. So I thought I would go over today a little bit about buying a foreclosure home at the auction and what are these lists with these pre-foreclosure homes. What is that? So one of the things on Zillow and Trulia and Realty Track, and there is a lot, if you type in foreclosure into Google, those are some of the top three websites that will come back. And what is this section on pre-foreclosure? So what I'd go over is what happens is that when people stop making payments on their mortgage and they just decide they're not going to make any more mortgage payments, that's going to start what the public commonly knows as the foreclosure process. One of the first steps in that, and in Washington State, it's the RCW, and it's RCW 61.24 that controls this in the state of Washington. And what that is a requirement for when the banks start that foreclosure process that they give what's called a notice of default. Shorthand in the industry is a lot of people refer to these as NODs, and that just stands for notice of default. So what happens is when the bank wants to start that foreclosure process, they are dictated by this RCW that they have to give 120 days in advance notice. That is done by recording this NOD. As soon as you record that against the property, it becomes public record. So with a lot of automation in these websites and looking at these public records, what they've done is in the old days, it used to be a lot harder. You would have to go down to the title company and order a title search or ask questions on that property. But now with our technology, as it's changed, these companies like Zillow and like Realty Track, they are canvassing those records on a daily basis and then providing those lists, usually for a fee, sometimes free, just so they get the traffic. They're providing those lists on their websites as pre-foreclosure. So because now it's a public record issue. And one of the reasons they're doing that is they want increased traffic to those websites. It doesn't mean anything other than the fact that you still don't know. The owner of that property, even if they're not making their mortgage payments, they are still the legal owner of that property for another 4 months and potentially longer, because during that time period, they could bring those payments current. They could reinstate the status of that loan to a current status. And then there might, the sale date could be canceled or delayed if that was done. So it's really frustrating from a consumer perspective because they say, well, hey, I saw this house and it's listed in the pre-foreclosure section. That's a house I want to buy. And then their next question is, well, how do I go about buying that house? Well, it's not listed with a real estate agent. It probably doesn't have a sign in front of it. And number three, they might not even be able to sell it. And people say, well, what do you mean by they might not be able to sell it? The pre-foreclosure notice gives an estimated amount of the foreclosure sale would be $100,000. And I think this house is worth like $175,000. Question number two, that then as knowing the profession that we're trained to ask is, that foreclosure is probably only on a first mortgage, and there could be a second or even a third mortgage recorded against the property. So the estimated amount that's given on those websites is only the estimated principal amount of the first mortgage. So what we mean by they might not even be able to sell that house is even if you go and, you know, you get the address and you go and you approach that homeowner directly, it's quite possible that the amount you're seeing is only the first mortgage, and they might not have enough equity to be able to sell. They could be upside down. Maybe that's why they stopped making payments on that. There is a number of scenarios. So it's a little bit misleading and a little bit frustrating to see those lists out there, and we get those questions from the consumer because there's so many unknowns. All we know is that is a public listing of the notice of default, and it may go to auction. So that's our first scenario that we're walking through with clients. The second scenario is, of course, some of those properties are going to end up at auction. Mm-hmm. So now what are we dealing with? The notice of default says that the auction is going to take place on, you know, Friday, November 24th at the courthouse steps in Benton County. So, you know, they're going to have the auction there. And sometimes a percentage of those properties actually make it to the auction status. And if it is the first mortgage, then you're going to be able to show up to that auction. They've given their proper 120 days notice. The payments weren't cured. And you're going to be able to purchase that property at auction. Now, there's so many points that we can go over. I'm just going to hit the highlights today.
Okay.
Now, there's a couple things to consider with what's going on there. Number one is you are going to have certified funds at that auction.
Ooh.
So we're not talking about a bank loan. We're not talking about financing. We're not talking about appraisal. You need to have certified funds at that Friday morning at 10 a.m. when they have that auction with you to deliver to that trustee. So if the auction goes through and you bid on it, you're buying that house that day. Second problem in that scenario, okay, so we have to have cash, so that rules out a portion of people looking to go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
Second problem that we're dealing with there is you don't have access to that house. The bank has likely taken control of that property, or even the other scenario, the owner that stopped making the payments is still living there and is going to stay living there until a sheriff tells them to get out because it's not their property. So you don't know what the condition of that house is like inside.
Yeah.
And so that presents a whole nother sort of issues that we're going to talk about as we kind of go through this process from what does pre-foreclosure look like? What are these lists I'm seeing online? And if we do decide to move forward, we're going to address after the break what are some of the risks that we're looking at.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been delving into a little bit about the pre-foreclosure process and the foreclosure process for the simple reason that mainly it's not that we see so many of those in our area, but with the new websites that are out there, the technology, the tight inventory market, we get a lot of people asking about this process, what it entails, and how to go about it. So before the break, we just talked a little bit about getting through the pre-foreclosure process, actually looking at some of these that go to the foreclosure auction, and then we were looking at some of the pitfalls of that. And some of the pitfalls that we were just getting into is that legally, you don't have access to that property. John and I were talking at the break where we had both seen one, you know, he had seen one in his neighborhood, and clearly the sign said this is a foreclosure property.
Yes.
Anybody that is seen on the property, you should call the sheriff, I think
you said.
Call
the Benton County Sheriff, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was curious. I walked up and looked at that, so I scurried off the yard. Because then I'd have to call the cops on myself.
Absolutely. And so that's what we see with these properties. Once somebody has been evicted, the bank has, or through abandonment, a lot of time there's provisions where the bank might not be the legal owner yet, but if the property is abandoned, they have rights to go in and secure that property to protect their asset, basically, until they can finalize the foreclosure or transfer ownership to somebody else. So another thing that happens a lot of times, another of the dangers to be looking out for, and this occasionally comes up, and that is the number of loans that were on a property. Because a lot of times what will happen, it's rare, but it does happen, is a second mortgage that is not getting any payments, and they think there could still be equity in a property beyond the first and the second. A second mortgage might initiate foreclosure process and foreclosure proceedings.
Hmm.
So what would happen, though, and the way that works is they talk about being in first position. You might have heard that you want to be in first position. Because what happens is when a first position mortgage forecloses, it wipes out the other mortgages that were recorded after, the second and third. And that's why the foreclosure process is so important. Occasionally, though, there might be some equity. The second mortgage will go ahead and initiate foreclosure proceedings. So if you happen to accidentally be bidding on a second mortgage, you could pay that price, not realize that a first mortgage was recorded against the property, and somebody would still have rights to the property senior to your rights. And so that would be like an absolute disaster. And I have seen in the Tri-Cities, I have seen people purchase second mortgages at these auctions that I thought was questionable if they had an equity position.
Wow.
So there's some title work. If you're looking into this process, there's some title work that needs to be done ahead of time to make sure. We find mistakes all the time. In fact, I found one, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, I found one where there were two mortgages on the property. I was concerned we were in the same position, that a second was being auctioned. Really what had happened, though, was the first had been actually paid off, but a reconveyance was never filed. And it was just something that slipped through the cracks. Until I called the bank and did the research, the bank was like, oh yeah, this doesn't exist anymore. We don't know why a reconveyance wasn't done. So those type of mistakes happen all the time, and we still find those even with the technology and all the record keeping that we have today, those still come up. So that's one of the things to potentially be concerned about. The other we touched on briefly was that sometimes a tenant is still in that property. So you might take ownership of that property by buying it at the foreclosure, but you might then have to evict a tenant, and you don't know what type of damage or the previous owner is going to happen from the time you now own the property until the time that tenant leaves the property.
Ooh.
And so that's another red flag for people to be on the lookout for when they're looking at purchasing at this foreclosure. Now, we went over a lot of the negatives. The benefits of it is that this is the process that allows you to potentially gain a lot of instant equity. So big risk, bigger reward. And that's these situations that we talk about. If you do want to take that risk with that amount of cash, you could potentially be bidding on a property, paying off the first mortgage. Maybe there was a second and third on it that made it not feasible for the owner to sell. But at the foreclosure process, the first gets their money back. And then that second and third could potentially be wiped clear off of the property. So then you're getting massive amounts of instant equity in the right situations.
Yes.
So a lot to think about. It is not a simple process. It is one that definitely needs to have a lot of research done. And the risks become tremendously higher. And so that's one of the things that we're always, helping our clients navigate and consider in that process.
Well, especially with all the cash involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're basically writing a check to buy a house.
You are, and there's nobody standing behind you protecting that. There's no contingencies. They're not an inspection contingency. There's not an appraisal contingency. You're taking all of this risk on yourself.
As is, no warranty.
Yeah, there's no protection. There's no consumer protection there. You are a cowboy at that point.
It's like buying a used car on Craigslist.
On your own. I couldn't have said it better myself, John. So that's kind of that situation there. And just as we see more and more of those notices and lists come out, I just want people to be aware of what we were dealing with. And there's a lot of unknowns. And that's the other hard part, is a lot of clients call our office and we talk about this process and go through it. And I really feel like it's a situation where I say, I don't know, more than is somewhat acceptable. But the process it's not just a straightforward process.
No.
I don't know if there's going to be a delay. Well, who does know? I'm not sure if anybody knows. Sometimes, I don't know if it could be a bankruptcy attorney, it could be a trustee. It could be an account negotiator with the bank. And the problem is we don't get access to who those people are. So it's a very interesting world. It makes me smile. And it's some days it makes me want to, you know, throw things at the wall, because it's also frustrating, because it's hard. We like answers, right? You know, we like things straightforward, to be able to find the answers, to find out who knows. And this is one of those processes where a lot of times the best answer is, I don't know, and we might have to wait and see.
Yes.
Now, on the other hand, we have some amazing properties that have come up for sale recently. Like I told you, this market is, we're continuing to see some great inventory, and where we've had lower inventory to get great new listings like we did this last week, I get super excited about what we're going to be able to sell this weekend and the following week. So my pick three this week, we've got a brand new listing right in the midst of that South Richland corridor that so many people look for, 1798 Sycamore Court. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler. You've got updated wood tile plank flooring. So it's that tile that looks like wood planks. Very, very awesome stuff. Spacious living room, bright bay window. You've got a gas fireplace in the family room. Opens up to a large kitchen. They've done the upgrades, so you've got the granite counters, tile backsplash, dual closets in the master, and then you have a large covered patio and an extended patio. And then they've gone in and done all new windows, and this house wasn't that old. So, I mean, very, very well updated, fully fenced backyard, and you're getting in there at $249.9. So anytime you're in that West Kennewick, South Richland corridor and you're at that $250 mark, that's really hard to find. So fantastic property, 1798 Sycamore Court. Pick number two, this is 6408 West 4th Place. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath, and a den Rambler, and this is in Orchard Park. That's a development that Hayden had done right off of 4th. Open layout, you get your large great room, vaulted ceilings, also gas fireplace in this property, sliding off the dining area off to an expansive patio. Once again, another fully fenced backyard property, mature landscaping. You're getting all that for $215. So once again, centrally located. 4th can take you to Columbia Center Boulevard. You can get to the freeway. Very, very great location. And then pick number three, this is a price point under $150 that we don't see a lot of right now. 107 South Irby Street in Kennewick. And this is a three bedroom plus an office. It's a Rambler basement in West Kennewick. They've gone through repainting the interior, updated the kitchen. It's got gorgeous cabinets, updated appliances, fully remodeled bathroom. Then you've got a huge family room in the basement, and an unfinished 28 by 10 bonus room that you could turn into anything you wanted to.
Wow.
Basement is also plumbed for a second bathroom, so you could gain some instant, you know, sweat equity there by installing a second bathroom and slider again back to a fully fenced backyard with a garden area and fire pit, and that price point is $139.9.
Wow.
And I gotta tell you, it's hard to find a well-maintained nice home right now for $139.9 in West Kennewick location. So that was 107 South Irby. My team and I would love to show you any of those potential properties in the pick three, or any other property you have questions about this weekend. Feel free to go to kenmoreteam.com to request that showing. We're hoping that Tom Coyne is back next week with a hunting story.
Yes.
That he got the big one. So we will hear from him next week, and we will look forward to seeing everybody right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.